Hey, this is Tierney Finster, host of Tierney Talks, an interview show where I talk to my favorite experts about their lives and passions. My guests include artists, writers, actors, estheticians, hypnotists, curators, money coaches, beauty entrepreneurs, political candidates, and more. The talk is always smart, always hot, and always fun. Enjoy. Hey, welcome to the show.
Hello.
I'm here with Nico the Icon, aka Nico Karamian.
Hi.
Thank you so much. Can you tell me, where are you right now and what are you wearing or not wearing?
Right now, I'm laying on my bed. I'm wearing some red short shorts. My hair is up in a messy ponytail. And I'm so excited to be speaking to you.
You sound very party girl, soccer player outfit, which I love.
Yes, that is aspirational.
One of your many style capabilities. Nico and I are both socially distanced from each other in the world for the most part, as most of you listening are too. And as friends for a lot of our life now, I feel like this is probably one of the longest times we've gone without really hanging or touching, but we did get to see each other a little on your front lawn the other day.
Thank you so much for dropping by on
surprised
420.
You.
And it was such a surprise. And you brought me a little joint, and it was very nice.
It's funny because I feel like in our long history of friendship, oftentimes when I would be walking up to enter your house, you would, if you weren't like in the middle of some other activity, you would often kind of glide out and just have a really good sense of timing as to my arrival. So when I was creeping up with the joint to leave on your windowsill, I just thought that you, like, I guess you did see me, but you were getting the mail. Such a true moment. Oh, I'm clutching my rose quartz. I'm also in a short. It's kind of like a mauve velvet one. And
Tierney.
Yeah.
I have to say, I was so nervous to come
on the talk.
On Tierney Talks, yeah. But just hearing your voice, I am relaxed.
You know, it kind of is making my eyes feel tearful because I also felt so nervous, and I feel really free about interviewing people, you know, and I love like just spending time this way. That's the whole reason to do it. But I think sometimes the closer I am to someone, the more pressure, like I just feel really crazy. So I appreciate you being vulnerable and coming on the show.
Appreciate you having me.
I'm sitting under a portrait of us clutching hands in very regal black and amazingly highlighted natural but glam faces from a studio portrait we took in London together. And it's super fitting for the nature of this conversation. But the reality is I'm recording basically everything under this picture and spending most of my time near it.
I love that. It's really important to have spiritual images around you in your space.
Well, just even the idea of like spiritual images, of course, you can collect and print out and just seek those types. But with you, there's just such a shared lifetime of creating images together that feel are imbued with a lot of spiritual quality, and like that's just the best to
Oh,
have.
yes. I
How
feel
are
like
you?
everything we do.
Actually, I just looked to my left and I also see a. Remember, you got like a Polaroid camera in Vegas at CES with Lady Gaga? And I'm pretty sure you took a little
Oh my goodness.
self-portrait with it, and it's right next to me, and I see under it Polaroids of
Oh.
you and Michelle poolside in Beechwood Canyon. And I'm just scanning my space for more remnants of our friendship. What's it been like spending so much time like by yourself? I think everybody is spending more time alone right now.
Oh, it's been so many things,
Right.
so many different ways. A lot of fun, to be honest. I've been having a lot of fun, a lot of like reverting to this time when, you and I were preteens or whatever, and we would just have so much fun at
Sitting
home
around.
and doing nothing and just being creative.
It reminds me of that too. Like, and you know me, like, it just because of the like luckiness and privilege of having everyone around us being healthy right now and able to like be pretty distant. It's just such a feeling of like childhood, adolescence, after school vibes. 3 p.m. on a Wednesday, and someone else is like cooking something for you, and like you
Yeah,
have your first cell phone, and
it's an amazing feeling that I thought was like I feel like I've been living in a way that I thought was long gone.
like you access some part of yourself. Or like life experience that you thought you had maybe grown out of or that had just changed.
Yeah, because I feel like the world changed so rapidly in every second
Yeah.
that those just sitting or like sitting like we are right now on the phone to each other. We used to talk on the phone for hours and hours.
Like 6 hours. I
And
know.
then I don't know what happened with all this, like
Well, some of it
I don't even
was
know. I don't even
physical too.
know.
Like, some of that is the. It's so beautiful to be like, we became friends in middle school, which was also when I think both of us were getting our first cell phones, which just meant that like we had our own point of access to the world outside of our family home. And my friendship with you was among those first like people that I would really have these long.
Hold for a plane. Hold for the plane.
I heard it too, and I'm not professional enough. I just kept yapping.
Just kidding.
Nico is an industry professional in all mediums. I didn't really give you the full bio, but for our listeners, as we're talking about, Nico is my close to oldest friend in the world, definitely one of the most meaningful relationships in my life, and is also an extremely talented photographer, actor, model, and
Oh my
overall
God.
creative person.
You recorded that, right?
A comedian. If anyone,
Okay,
if wish everyone knew what a funny bitch you are.
good. Well,
I
they're
think
gonna know
they do.
now.
Yeah. What's your new Instagram bio?
It's at the moment, it's get off my page, you fake bitch, and I really mean it.
It's not funny because it's a joke. It's just funny because it's funny, you know? I feel like this entire year, it seemed like, I don't know, I think like I had to spend a lot of time with like some recovering from an injury like a 3 years ago, and it definitely put me in a more home-oriented lifestyle by like no choice. And then there was remnants of that like the remnants of that were my realization that I actually enjoyed time spent that way. And it kind of felt like, even though I was becoming a little bit more selective, or like just not having as much time spent outside my house as like all the last 10 years, it kind of felt like it's prepared me for this experience too. And I definitely like kind of noticed in the last, just in 2020, you've spent a lot of time in your own personal space and kind of like exploring yourself. And it kind of felt like, I feel grateful that it's the transition to this lifestyle is feeling a little sweeter or simpler because of that, or at least more manageable.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It is. I feel like I have been having such a great time lately because of all of that, doing all of that prior, you know, like this almost like being quarantined and becoming more insular is almost a culmination of all that work we've been doing.
It's been really fun. I mean, that, like, I guess what I'm thinking about when we're saying how much has changed in terms of like this experience bringing us back into a space where we're sitting on the phone together right now, and it so happens that we plan to share it, but we've literally probably spent, you know, like, I couldn't even imagine how many hours on the phone together in the last 10 plus years. But also when we first were really like on our razors or whatever phones, Blackberries, it's not like we really had places to go at all. Like, we were super excited to go to, you know, one of the malls in LA, or like eventually go take the bus somewhere more specifically chosen to our liking. But like, you're talking about sixth, seventh grade, like your ass is at home with your parents dying to have anything interesting. Like, you know, I think we both shared this sense of like super pop culture awareness and like sense of humor and very dreamy, performative people. And if you think about what we were up to at that age, it's like, it was that. So it's no surprise we became friends.
So, and it's like, it's comforting, you know, just if you have your own space and you're able to fill it with the things you love and just be at peace there.
What are some of the things you see in your space right now that you love?
I'm staring at this 200-year-old Persian rug that my aunt gave to me. Like, she had kept it it's been in the family for years, and she kept it up until like 2 years ago, and she gave it to me. And now I just stare at it, and it's so beautiful, and I love that I have a space that I can roll it out in, and I can lay on it, and I do exercises or stretches. It's helping the podcast right now because it's sonically absorbing the echoes in my room, making it cozier, you know. And then I'm looking at a shelf that I made during quarantine. I'm looking at a picture of Alexa Demi from her MAC Cosmetics campaign. I love how it watches over me. I'm looking at a plant that I just hung up. You know, like a hanging plant.
Very nice. I love how you make any space.
There's a lot to look at.
Whether it's somewhere you live or what, like, you always improve it.
Thank you. I really want to. I feel like our surroundings and our environment really, like, affect our mood.
Mm-hmm.
And our physicality. So it's essential to me to, like, create a harmony between you and the spaces you're in, no matter where you are.
What are some things you think you can suggest, like, to people who are spending, a lot of people are spending more time in their spaces than they ever have. What might people try to do? What are some, I know that you have a lot of knowledge from your love of, like, home interior shows, but also just from your own experiments as of late. What can people do to, like, shift up the vibe in their space?
Well, first of all, clean. Just start cleaning things. Like, dust is a no-no. Get rid of all the dust. Sweep, vacuum. Just, you know, cleanse. I've been studying a lot of feng shui recently too, and it teaches, like, all about creating pathways for good energy to flow. And when you have, like, messes or clutter or, you know, like, a bad layout of furniture that obstructs the flow of energy, then it's going to make it harder for that good energy to flow through your home and through your space and through your life, because you're spending most of your time there. You want to make it a sanctuary.
Yeah, I think no matter what, like, your personal aesthetic or interests in what your space is like are, the idea of making it super functional is super empowering. Yeah. Like, I definitely was defensive earlier this year when you suggested I change the direction of my bed, just because it wasn't something I had in mind, and because I just really liked certain aspects of where it was in terms of my known experience thus far. And then a couple weeks later, I shifted it, and it totally unlocked such a pleasant and, like, elevated and just amazing experience in the same room I've lived in for quite a while.
Yes, I'm so happy that you did that. And I was surprised, but I'm so glad that you did it.
Surprised that I did it, or surprised that
I didn't think it was a good idea. Yeah, at first you were like, no. Why would I do that?
I'm like, and then, shut the fuck up, okay? I like it.
But it's cool because I just learned in feng shui, they say you should put your bed in a position where, I was encouraging you to do it so you can have space on both sides. Like,
right.
You want to have, like, equal distance on both sides of your bed for, like, a nightstand type thing or whatever. But also you want your bed to be facing the door, the entry of the room, so that you can always see what's coming in and out.
I remember in the original layout of my office, I had my desk going kind of, like, vertically across the room, but peering out of the horizontal window, if that makes sense. And
yeah, it's very similar with a desk. You want it to be, you want to see the entrance of the room.
Yeah, so now I, for the last year, probably I see the entrance in the window.
Yes, you never want your desk to be facing a wall.
Mm-hmm.
But we could do a whole interior special.
I'm looking at a huge, like, I have a huge
passionate about it.
Garment bag. And also for clear characterization, I come from, like, a hoarder dad, a mom who, like,
same.
Can't take the emotional weight of the hoarder spouse. So, like, she just, like, fantasizes about where she is in her head. So she doesn't have any regard to, like, physical space. And so it's been really empowering because I think it, like, I'm like it too. Like, you cultivate what you're around. You know what I mean? And so I'm always someone that's really into my things and really, like, creative in my space with how it looks. But also I don't have a lot of that, like, easy to access energy or know-how in terms of, like, turning something around and in terms of cleaning or whatever. But, I definitely have been working on better patterns, and I was so relieved that a lot through your inspiration that I had just gotten rid of a ton of stuff and, like, made more space in my living environment than ever before in my life, literally, because now I'm stuck here. And when I did, you know, I mentioned, like, another period of, like, home sabbatical where I had been getting better from breaking my leg. At that time, I wasn't really living in this space, and I had been using it as just an extreme storage space. So when I got unexpectedly stuck in my room, it was like being while surrounded by, like, vestiges of tons of other apartments and, like, all my college.
It weighs on you, more than you would know, you know?
And just, I was so ashamed.
Like, yeah. Like, you know how you just had me looking around my room looking at things?
Yeah.
It was like that, right? Like, you're always taking in everything around you, even with your eyes closed. Like, you know the mess is there. So why not just take care of it? It's like your dad says, nothing to it but to do it.
Right, but it's just his priority isn't to dissociate his own stuff. But, like, to me, it's very empowering every time that I feel any judgment about some of that, like, ancestral, like, relationship to physical space, which I also recognize as, like, a coping mechanism because it's something people can control, even if it seems like chaos to others. But, like, instead of having any vitriol about that, it feels so much more lighthearted and powerful to just make all my spaces more beautiful than they've ever been.
I'm so proud of you, and I'm always here to encourage you.
Yeah, like, as mentioned, I have a huge garment bag not far from me that's hanging, and remember you came over and we cleaned all my purses earlier this year. So that definitely changed it. Like, prior, I would just always have so many bags visible at every given moment in the day. And ever since that afternoon watching Beyonce Homecoming a repeated time for both of us and doing that, it's been really nice.
I'm so glad to hear that.
Have you watched Homecoming? I know, I definitely have more to go. Because
we can FaceTime and you can show me things.
Ugh, yeah, because actually where I'm positioned right now is, like, gives me a vantage point towards a secret little area. You know, a naughty area.
Yes. I see in all of those nooks and crannies.
I see the fur coat, like, faux fur kind of camel color coat I wore to your last wore to your brother's wedding. Some random shopping bags, a teddy bear from when I was, like, you know, 6 months old in a tiny Irish woman's dress, and a little ashtray, and, like, some sort of badge from a convention. Doesn't that sound horrible? I love your space.
It's so reflective of who you are.
Yeah. That's why it's, like, I honor also that my ideal space is probably always going to have some degree of maximalism or, like, Yeah, I don't want to say mess, and I definitely don't want to say kitsch. But you know what I mean?
Totally. It has to, the more it can be you, the better.
Right, which that's what I kind of honored about myself, of like, even if things are wildly messy, maybe I am just as a person, like, you know, things can be an emotional mess and reflect that in physical space, and I'll honor that that's been true for me at times, but also it's always filled with like an extreme amount of art and angels and dolphins and Grace Jones and Lindsay Lohan and you and Fosso, and I'm just, I can see so many, Alexa, like I see so many friends, me and Snoop, Miss Piggy, Venus, yeah, I see a postcard or like some drawing. It's amazing.
You live in an altar.
Yes, altar. I do have that vibe. It's crazy though about having altars, is that like,
I love your room. There's like crystals everywhere. There's marijuana everywhere. There's cozy blankets. There's so many shoes. Right. So much to dress up in.
Dress up is key.
So many like pictures and memories. It's so nice.
Thank you. I definitely have a joint and a blue kind of throat opening crystal, and I'm drinking some sort of cannabis tonic that's blood orange and cardamom.
I love that.
I mean, it's Friday afternoon. Where did you get that? It's my best friend. I deserve a kind of, you know, laissez-faire hosting.
Listen, Tierney Talks, listeners at home, I invite you to grab libations right now. I have a spirit or a witch stick from Black Bloom. I'm about to light it up right now.
Yes.
Shout out to Black Bloom.
Yeah, so Black Bloom, that's like a Black-owned and operated cannabis growing collective.
Yep.
I really want to try a witch stick for myself.
It's a farmer's cooperative in LA. Mm-hmm. And it's all organically sun-grown. And this is not a paid advertisement. I just think it's important that we support not the exploitive chain dispensaries with all the GMO garbage, but rather these amazing black organic growers. Farmers. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Local, and too.
Do they deliver to you?
And they deliver. And during quarantine, it's free. So.
Wow.
I'm really loving it.
When you typically get a delivery, do you order it that day and it comes the same day, or do you put it in advance?
Yes, I've ordered from them twice and it has come same day.
Oh, wow. Witch sticks are in my near future. Yes. And do you have to have cash, or can you Venmo or something like that?
It's Venmo.
Perfect, Venmo, because cash is limited during this distant time.
I have a little bit of cash in my wallet, and I'm loving it because it seems like
so cool.
A relic from the old world.
I know, like I'm forgetting what the occasion was, but at some point this year, you know what it is? Going to dinner with a group of friends, especially when where people are drinking too, and like the bill really gets up there. And then people give you cash instead of Venmoing you or something if you put the card down. That's like been my main way in the last year or something to ever feel like cash heavy. And it feels so fun. Like my dream come true as a little girl.
I see a lot of cash for you in the future.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's like really bad for people with not a lot of money. Very robot automation. Is that what the word? Automation.
What is?
I think cash, especially like businesses that choose to not offer cash payment, it's very alienating to, usually it's like a gentrifying business, and it's alienating the local community typically from them being able to shop there.
Yeah, I never like it when I encounter that.
you're like, oh, you're one of those, which is a really hip cafe.
I also have such an appreciation for cash only establishments.
Oh, right. And that's why I was wanting to respect that from the Cannabis Collective, too. But I am relieved to know. I mean, cannabis is one of my favorite parts of quarantine. Like, what do you want me to say? I love weed anyway, but like, come on.
The ancient plant medicine has been really lovely. I just love it.
I am grateful that we had a little bit of shroominess together, and I had some with Brandy and Brian too.
Yes.
Right before all this.
Okay, Tierney Talks listeners, if you're feeling generous, we love organic marijuana products.
Uh-huh.
We love mushrooms. I am currently looking for the best mushrooms in Los Angeles or the world, so please feel free to share.
This
share
summer,
your wealth.
Instead of a blue ribbon pie contest, we should have, like, you know how you have kind of the local farmer's prize for, like, in films, not in our life, you know, of like,
yes,
you made the best pie and you got the blue ribbon. We need that for psilocybin mushrooms and organic sun derived.
Well, that is our life.
Cannabis. For 420, I didn't post anything, which, you know, in our world is typically the marker of indicating a concern for it, although that's not real. On 420, I privately cruised through my album of photos from Mendocino last year, and like, the weed there is so good. It's just like a pure farmer's market of weed everywhere you go. And the prices are not inflated by like the dispensaries and the processing or the travel, you know?
The feeling of that makes me think of, I remember I once visited a farm too, up in Humboldt, California, where a lot of weed is grown. That I remember the feeling of walking into the space and being surrounded by the trees,
right?
And just like, I felt like I was inside the plant. It was so fresh and it's amazing.
When you were having that experience, were you consuming cannabis at the time? Or I'm just wondering if that power of the plant was overtaking you, even if you weren't like smoking, of course.
That's a great question. I actually wasn't consuming it. I was just visiting my friends who lived there, and I got to work on the plants, like, I got to do the farming, which was so grounding, just to have your, you know, have your fingers in the soil and feeling the plants and the exchange that happens there. It was a high of its own. I was a marijuana plant for the week.
I feel like we went somewhere right after that. And
we went to London right after that. Because
oh, really?
I remember I was there on the ranch when I found out that we had won the Serpentine Dis grant.
Wow, how
for
cinematic.
Those of you who don't know, Tierney and I are world-renowned artists who have received acclaim and awards and grants. And we're so,
most importantly,
so thankful
travel.
Because how amazing is it to go from this? I was in the middle of the woods.
You know, it's funny, speaking of hoarding and like just physical environment, I remember either I was sitting right there or I went and sat there right after, like, seeing an email about that, about winning, and sitting in like the steps at my empty pool, like big, crazy, thick, wide steps on this pool from like the 50s. And I would just go sit there, you know, like as if I was a skater, but without a board. And I remember I was listening to Drake. So embarrassing. But it was some moody, it was Connect. So it was a very moody, reflective swing and just out here, like living the life, wondering, curious.
And you have a swimming pool.
I do. A swimming pool without water. Ugh. The shame. That's, you know, as a little girl, I was such a bitch about all these things, though.
I know you do. I know you have one. I've been in it. We've taken photos in there.
Mm-hmm.
But what I want to know is, Tierney, how do you go hang out in there?
I used to. I don't know.
Was that the last time you were there?
Not long after. I feel like Michael Fosso came and took photos in it, like, for Undefeated, like, I don't know, mm-hmm. 4 years ago or something. And I probably mm-hmm. location scouted it for him prior. I can't say I was home for the shoot. But yeah, mm-hmm. it's funny how you're just, whether it's because you're stuck home in this or just because you were growing up or moving somewhere, like there's just so many areas and ones, no matter how big or small your living space is, there's just like somehow places in it that you didn't hang out before.
So many, like you could go stand in a different corner of your room and have like your world changed, you know?
Right. Or like, I think I told you this when we were on the phone the other day, that I'm sitting on a stool right now that's really tall. And typically I've only had this kind of chair in like a kitchen or something. And mm-hmm. I feel like
it's really good for posture.
I feel like, right? That's maybe why I'm feeling really like embodied or like the opposite of depressed. And I think it's because I'm just like feeling so springy and like a supported chair rather than like a bed or, you know, kind mm-hmm. of a slumpy old thing.
Yeah.
Nico, are you alone or are you with people during quarantine?
Oh my God, it's so hard to ever be alone.
Right.
Yeah. Isolation is such a luxury.
And why do you say that? Because you have an intergenerational dynamic happening?
Like true isolation, you know, when you feel held by Mother Earth.
Uh-huh.
And Mother Earth only. And no one, you know, no one is around.
Yeah.
And you can feel that no one is around and no one's checking for you and no one's looking at you.
Everyone, you stop checking for me. It's like crazy when, I think we're both really nurturing people, but then like it can quickly become like an imbalance where you need to go find that time somehow alone to be really nurturing to yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Let's speak on that more, please.
Well, it's just so massive, but like, I mean, for one, I think that's part of the reason why I always have like a true love for waking up early, because I don't really care if I will love it when people I love are there, but I love it when they're sleeping and I'm awake and the sky is like still pinkish and like, I'm just getting this fresh natural burst, even if I'm in my home. And just, I love knowing that they're all asleep feeling. And no one's going to talk to me. And it's because I'm with, you know, Brian and my partner, and I'm also with my mom mm-hmm. and my dad. And like, it's, you know, our dynamic.
Whoever it may be.
Anybody. It could even
be your neighbors.
Oh, or like traveling. Not like whenever. Someone
in your space.
Yeah.
It can just be.
On the internet.
The voice in your head.
Yeah.
You know?
It can populate the room really quickly rather than like giving you that sense of being alone.
That's why I have, during quarantine, I have been really making an effort to go be alone in meditation, in the physical realm. Like, I'm going to the beach a lot, driving through the canyons, driving to unchartered forested areas where I can just wander.
Yeah.
I can literally just wander and discover things.
But I think we
Discover.
have to admit that your lifestyle is very much rooted in that, regardless. You
How
have
do you
a
mean?
very Piscean ability to wander
Yeah.
and be curious, and I mean that's an extreme compliment, the like
Thank
beauty
you.
of the pace and vibration at which you approach life really is
Oh,
like second to
thank you.
none.
You're gonna make me cry.
It's also just a gift that you have because it's like a different, I don't know, like I really think that you look at things in such a divine way and like almost to the point where people have such hardened hearts in the world that a lot of people could probably not even truly open themselves to know how much like love and peace you bring into day-to-day life.
What? Whoa.
That reaction.
You just like sent me.
To back to that canyon with the uncharted forest.
You sent me.
You send me always.
Tierney, today is not an easy day for me.
Tell us about it. It's April 24th, right? And I know it's a special day of commemoration with like a really intense context. Will you fill us all in?
I have to take a deep breath. So today marks 105 years since the beginning of the Armenian genocide, which was like a horrific massacre where my people were nearly completely wiped out.
Right.
What happened was we who survived that and fled, we spread out all over the world and we multiplied. We created a diaspora that's stronger than ever, larger than ever. And I say this to affirm something that I thought of earlier, which is that feel like oppression always backfires.
And you say that thinking about the strength and like multiplicity of the Armenian diaspora in the world today.
Yeah, currently, like you tried to wipe us out. You sent us on death marches into the desert. For what reason? I don't know, Tierney, and it bothers me.
Right. And when you say you, who is like, for people who don't have context in terms of the history of the, entities involved, who was the
Whoever
hand of the
that
oppression?
was, yeah,
Right.
whoever was there. And my heart goes out to them too, because I don't know what the fuck possessed you to do that. You know?
It's
Like
like,
what you must be going through to carry out a genocide.
and it was kind of like a nationalist conflict where basically the country of Turkey, I mean, tell me
I
if I'm
believe
wrong,
then
I don't know.
they were, I believe it was the Ottoman
Ottoman
Empire.
Empire, so pre-1917, nationalism, yeah, pre-Turkey, but was so they just wanted to expand the empire, the reach of the empire through claiming the land that we think of as Armenia.
I don't know.
Right, like why?
I don't know why anyone would do that. I think that a lot, the root of a lot of our problems comes from the ownership of land.
Right, totally. That, I mean, the colonial, like, chain of events has so much to do with the idea of
yeah, this,
nations
you know,
and land.
The notion of ownership. It's like, you own nothing.
Yeah, and it's interesting because I think, well, for people who don't know, you are like a first generation Armenian American. Is that how you would say it?
Yeah.
And you have
It's
two
true.
siblings that were born in Armenia, parents that grew up in Armenia, and you're the first of this family to be born in Hollywood, California.
Yeah.
But was it, I mean, I guess I bring that up because it's interesting that with for your parents who even, not to say even more closely, but just time-wise grew up even more closely to the like horror of that genocide. When upon moving to America, this narrative of survival and resilience that was held so closely in Armenia, like in America,
it's
where
embedded
is that?
In our DNA.
Right.
It's embedded in our DNA. Sorry, I didn't mean to speak over you.
Oh no, you do it way less than I do.
But that, you know, we talk about ancestral trauma a lot these days, which I'm so happy about because it's so real. And we need support.
Do you feel like being Armenian is just a super essential aspect of like how you see the world or feel in it?
Absolutely. I mean, it's part of my complete experience.
And I mean, as a child, were you speaking better English than your older siblings?
I learned how to speak English the same time that I learned Armenian.
Right, but for them, they had already learned Armenian and didn't have English back.
Yeah, I can't imagine their struggle at the time.
I just remember your mom telling me that you were the person she always would turn to, even when you were like 7 years old, to like talk to a census person. Or you have told me that you talked to a census person as a child, but she told me that like you were basically her translator before you were in first grade, you know?
This is, in a way, it's news to me, but it's like, it's just the way it is, you know?
That your mom reveals secrets and mysteries.
I wasn't, you know, there as a child thinking I'm providing a translating service, you know?
No, I know.
Something that you can be paid to do as a profession.
Well, I was as like a first grader giving out, and not to equate, it wasn't the experience you were having as an immigrant, but just like doling out my grandma's pills as a first grader. It's like I wasn't a bed nurse either.
Oh yeah, you were. Yeah,
I would like fill up the little, you know, cubes Monday,
yeah,
Tuesday.
And that goes circling back to finding peaceful isolation and serving yourself.
For real.
It's hard.
How do you kind of spend time with yourself, or I don't know if it's either physically with family or virtually with community, or just in your own heart, like how are you kind of commemorating this day and What traditionally, how have you spent? That's a good answer. How have you spent, like, growing up?
What would
you
do?
Nico's in recovery from the Armenian genocide.
Yes.
That's really valid.
And the genocides that are happening right now, like, it's hard.
Well,
on the verge.
Yeah.
I'm on the verge, Tierney.
I mean, I think like, talking about how the awareness of the genocide in America, I mean, it's important to establish that, you know, your parents came here however many years ago, 20 something years ago. And it wasn't until like last year or the last couple of years that the United States ever acknowledged mm-hmm. and recognized that the Armenian genocide mm-hmm. Did in fact happen. So it's not that America's validation of something is what constitutes its truth, but it's just for a huge diasporic community of Armenians in America, it must have felt really frustrating for that to have been left unsaid for so long.
Well, the thing that kills me, Tierney, is that, you know, the more you deny these things, the easier you make it for the atrocious to be repeated.
Yeah.
So what a century of denial says is like, no, you can still do this.
Right, like,
and get
it's
away
not,
with it.
Yeah, because they
go
did.
Go ahead. Yeah. Even Hitler references the Armenian genocide as inspiration for carrying out the Holocaust. He wow. used it to persuade the whoever his followers were
mm-hmm.
to do that.
He said, turned to it as positive.
I can't remember the exact quotes because I've heard them, but it was something like, he said, like, who speaks of the Armenians after all this, you know,
like something so horrible happened to them and yet they're still not
mm-hmm.
acknowledged or remembered, and that's proof of the like mm-hmm. effectiveness of this kind of evil pursuit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm really grateful for, you know, like having the experience of learning so much about just Armenian culture, Armenian history. I mean, spending any time with some folks in your family, I've been always met with the iPad so that I have proof of all the amazing vistas and attractions in Armenia via quick Google search, but more so all the time spent with your mom and you talking about Armenians in LA and Armenians in Armenia. It's been so mm-hmm. interesting and it's, impactful to me.
That's what my culture is all about. Sharing,
giving, hospitality.
Giving, yeah.
Is that something you like the most about Armenian culture?
I do love it a lot, yeah. I love that I was raised with a very strong sense of being hospitable and generous and caring.
So much so.
Mm-hmm.
Ultimate hostess with the mostest.
Thank you. Love hosting you.
It's interesting.
And feeding you.
The friendship that your mom and I have developed, it's almost like it just shows what a like privileged Americana chick I was, you know, in middle school, coming from parents who both also grew up in LA and their parents kind of largely growing up in LA. Mm-hmm. Like, when I was first getting to know your mom, she probably had only lived in America like 10 to 12 years. And mm-hmm. just her experience in America was so much within the Armenian community here, which I think is like the biggest in the world besides Armenia, right? So just, it was just funny, like how language and culture, how there was some like, you know, I would just like, we didn't relate to, we didn't know how to relate to each other as much, you know? It's just so funny that
such a pure, beautiful
time relationship just kept going, you know? And then it's like, suddenly there's like this really deep, complex friendship and so much greater communication.
Curiosity can be such a amazing and fruitful thing.
And mutual curiosity too.
Mm-hmm.
Now I've been partying in Tulum with your mom. Taking mushrooms in front of her. Dancing. Oh, so funny. How do you feel about like Armenian representation? And like, I definitely think in LA, people who are super like, there are some super overriding stereotypes about Armenian folks, of course, as there is for everybody. But like, I think a lot of the time in media and entertainment, we don't really see Armenians that much in US entertainment. Do you feel like that's true?
No.
Or is that something you think about?
Listen, for the longest time, the only person was Cher.
Wow.
And she's she's like incredible. Mm-hmm. I love her so much. She actually advocates a lot for us as a people, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I remember when she would do like these she would do trips to Armenia where she would be like visiting the villages and seeing how she can help, and that was really cute.
Oh my god, she would like stride through the cobblestone street, like I can imagine
images of her with like these, you know, grandmas of the village.
Do you feel like your parents, like your dad, do you think he would like be like thumbs up for Cher? I love Cher.
Oh yeah.
You're like, hell yeah.
He's, there isn't a day that he doesn't remind me about Cher.
Queen.
And everything Armenian, because that's what, when you go through something that, you know, you're, when you experience a near-death experience, you have such a instant gratification for what is.
Right. He's very...
Have you ever pure. Like, had a near-death experience?
I don't think so. Like, I feel like the probably closest I could say, I was young and also just still not really going there, or maybe I just don't let myself code it as that, as protection.
You were going where?
Like I said, I wasn't, like a car accident vibe, but I said I've never really like coded it or named it as that, because it's just not the way that I felt or thought about the experience at the time. But I'm sure if as I'm reflecting on it, I'm sure like the distinctions of what constitutes that, like it is, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Why do you ask? Like thinking about inheriting a like generational experience of near-death experience and survival, or do you feel like you also had more explicit near-death experience? Not more explicit, but also more like ones in this lifetime of your own.
Oh I'm tripping out.
It trips me out how we like laugh talking about this.
You have to laugh.
Of course.
Like, what I'm trying to say is, what I am saying and wanting to highlight is that feeling when you come back from a near-death experience and you're just like so happy to be alive and
Right.
so happy for all that exists. And like, yeah, making it, surviving,
Right.
getting through whatever that was, whatever that just happened to you.
And also, I mean, doing the work of like just recognizing that ancestral trauma in its various forms can contribute to that really like more reactive nervous system or temperament or like kind of like trauma state where I just think like codependency or all these other kind of emotional issues like stem from that and recognizing that. And I definitely
Oh,
see
yeah.
you on, we might be youthful, but we didn't really grow up in an era where mental health was normalized or discussed
It's
like it
not
is
never
now.
normal enough, you know?
Yeah, it's still not by any means, but it's just extremely. It's interesting as long-term friends how I think the beauty in a long-term relationship is that when done with a lot of consciousness, as I think we bring to the table, it means like regularly reinvesting and regularly being present within the beauty of that relationship, Like it's not something that just you inherit and stick with because you feel burdened or obligated to. It's something that you're choosing. But like even though we've been very close for like a decade, it's interesting the way that like the ability to speak about things and have certain types of conversations and to share yourself in certain ways, even when the friendship felt really vulnerable or personal to begin with, it's just crazy how that evolves over time.
I'm so grateful for it.
It's a lot of permission, I definitely don't think either of us were teenagers with like a lot of permission to be emotionally honest with
No.
ourselves and others.
Yeah, I mean, why is it so often that we're not allowed to be ourselves? To be who we want to be. It's like before you're even born, you're told who you're gonna be forever.
Yeah, or like the standard by which you're gonna now be forced to react off of or like in conversation with somehow, like definitely that idea of family identity. And like, I think family identity for both of us, we both were rather rebellious for like compared to our larger family groups, I think, in terms of how we behaved and like what we thought was available to us. Because I think we both came from families where, like, you're kind of just supposed to stay home, aren't you?
Yeah. My nickname for my dad is Turist,
And what does
which
that
means
mean?
tourist. Tourist, like I'm always going out, going places, wherever I can.
Oh, that's what he gives to you? How funny. He thinks that's your passion, tourism. How funny. I thought you were saying that for him, and I'm like, okay, let me hear it out.
Oh no. See, that's what I mean. Like we are like so stay home always. You might go on a trip once a year,
Yeah.
probably not.
Oh.
It's just like every day, stay home.
And not everyone grows up in a family like that. Like some people real, I mean, I definitely think immigrant cultures across the board, like people have a larger like expectation of the kids staying home up until like larger, like older ages. But even I didn't have that experience, but just like in growing up in a really large family dynamic in LA, it's like if I'm hanging out with 20 cousins every week, there's not really the expectation that I need any friends or that I need anything. You know, like you're supposed to, you don't know what other people are up to. A lot of weirdos in this world, aka, you know, quote unquote. And then it's just like you're supposed to stay home and eat dinner with your parents. And you and I like would,
So blessed if you can do that
right.
happily and joyfully and abundantly.
Totally. And I think some people, and I think now, I mean, it's just about aging too. Like when you're a young person expressing yourself and you brought up the idea of just like being who you are and having it somehow feel like a problem to yourself or to others in a different way, or like
Oh, I'm
just,
still trying to shake that feeling
but
constantly.
what do you think is at the core of your transgression? Like, what do you feel like it is about who you are that is kind of like still sustaining that kind of feeling somewhere in your experience right now?
No, we may never know what is at the core.
True.
Oh, it's every day I'm like swinging between being tethered to that core or just like snipping away at it and being released and propelled into space.
I think also like you can physically be in the same space or like maintain the same relationship, especially obviously with family, but then as your relationship with yourself changes, it can just bring a whole different awareness or vibration to, you know, those relationships from the past.
Absolutely.
Like it's definitely a lot more enjoyable to spend time, I think, with, you know, family now than it was as a teenager, because as a teenager, you're constantly feeling
100%.
like, you know, for me, it was like I'm too
100%.
slutty, wild. I'm a
I
wild drinker who
still am
takes the bus to
like,
Hollywood.
fuck.
I'm a party girl with, you know, I'm like a queer party girl with a bunch of wild friends, you know, that are much older. Yeah, it's just so funny.
Oh yeah.
I'm enjoying like different phases of life because it gives me more perspective as to how much I actually did enjoy all phases of life or like what I enjoyed about all of them.
Well, that's actually something I really wanted to ask you about.
Please do.
I know we have had the privilege and pleasure, absolute pleasure, of spending so much time together. But can you just take a moment to imagine, like, how much life we live separately, too?
Oh, yeah, for sure. In both
You feel
years and
that?
moments, yeah.
Like the wealth of what we have shared together. I love it.
Definitely. I mean, it's just
But yeah,
hard to translate
back
that
to
to a.
my question. I'm
What
like,
it, did you ask it?
no. Because I just
I
spiral on
mean,
all the
it's
points made.
crazy. I think one of the craziest things, I'll keep your question close to your heart because I want you to say it, but
Well,
something of.
you said it. I was gonna ask, like, I'm sorry. Go ahead. I feel like you have a really good point right now, too.
No, it's just that it's like a trip when you grow up with such intense friendships and then at the same time have that healthy response of like dependency, codependency, independence. Like, I, just because you brought up the idea of that we have this tremendous wealth of shared experience as friends, as people who like spiritually and creatively, you know, total lovers, and like the way that you and I have had a loving relationship has set the tone and the expectations in such a beautiful sense of like how I can show up for a romantic relationship, or, you know, how I treat other people. But also that fact that like all of that felt like all of that love and texture and characters and trips and like just so much life, but at the same time, like everybody's experience is also a singular experience, or like,
yes,
you know, even if we're all universal consciousness, like I'm also just floating. I think that, this is coming up for us as like part of the quarantine. And when you talk about the after school vibe, it's not just the sense of like, oh, we're home with a lot of time on our hands being creative. It's also the sense of like, I'm not wrapped up in everybody else's world priorities, beliefs, and how those color my own beliefs about my life. You know, it's like more safe space to really connect with that eternal soul, you know, solo journey vibe, which I really love, the balance.
Can you repeat that?
Shut up. I think...
No, really.
I just feel like I'm trying to say, like, what I like about our friendship the most is that we've had... we have such a beautiful connection, and yet it's coming without a lot of, like, weight, you know? I think, like, when you're younger... and maybe for people throughout their whole life, a lot of relationships are really tethered by obligation, expectation. And it's not to say that I haven't, you know, experienced, struggled, or otherwise with like all these types of things in the course of our friendship, but just like to go through these journeys together of like seeing why, seeing how relationships and the way we spend our time can be really like rewarding, how it can become compulsive, it can become
everything,
alienating, it can become spiritual, prayerful, like reality making.
Yes,
I think it can
become a podcast right now.
It's we're creating.
Thank God.
I just think that, like, I probably have a more beautiful lens and open heart towards our relationship because I healed some of my own codependent relationship patterns that understandably manifest when you're, like, 15 years old. But sometimes in relationships that are long-term, people don't really see the seeds of some of that. And then it's, like, a lot of years later, and then they're just not friends at all. Like, MJ and Reza on Shaw's of Sunset now.
They're not friends.
No. And when she delivered her baby, she had like a really emergency kind of situation, and he didn't go to the hospital, and instead he called her and said, did you tell this guy that my husband's harassing him, blah blah blah. But I was thinking, like, wow, if I had a baby and was having all the, that's when expectation does come in. I'm like, whoa, that would be so sad. If like
that for resolution
the resolution. New Shaw's of Sunset podcast.
Reza, we just blessed you with a great branding.
You'll take it. I'm sure he lives in North Hollywood. We should just go. All these stupid Bravo
I love
stars.
North Hollywood.
Yeah, they all live there.
Tierney,
I know.
We have so much to talk about.
I know. What do you think we should? The valley, yeah, where we like to hang out.
It brings me back to my question, which is,
tell me.
And I want to open it up to our listeners too.
Please, please write us both about any response.
I think it's a great thing to ask at this strange and uncertain time. How has your experience of life been?
Overall?
Yeah.
Honestly, I am someone that has always enjoyed my own company. and like believe in a lot of magic. And one blessing to me, even though I kind of brought up this idea of like the weight of family identity and all of that and expectation at the same time, like I like that I've grown. I like that my experience of life has been so incredibly social and full of so many like open-minded people, you know? And I think it's just made for so much fun. And I also think my experience of life has been circular, and that's been a really powerful shift because I definitely was kind of like a Tracy Flick type Western capitalist, traditionally educated person who did have a semblance of interest in like being a lawyer, or being a political analyst, and like boom, boom, boom. And life is a straight line because you follow ex certain expectations. And whether it's healing or creativity or friendship, I feel like, or whether it's the ocean itself, like now I believe in everything being like circular and waves, and like stuff comes and goes and it comes back, you know?
What a beautiful answer.
Thank you. What a beautiful question. It's
I have more
interesting.
questions.
Shoot, babe.
What were you about to say?
Like some it's interesting to ask
I'm gonna
someone
pull
what
up
they
my notes.
to ask somebody what they like about themselves, 'cause like I was thinking
Oh,
recently
what you said it so good right there.
that question,
Yeah. You
just
don't hear that
because
enough.
a lot of time when we think about what we like about ourselves, like my quick answer, and especially thinking of past versions of myself, would be like I don't know, like I could s smoke a lot of weed without getting too high. No, like
Wait, what's coming up there?
just that what I like about myself is that I
I'm inhaling rosemary right now.
so nice. I'm smelling eucalyptus, but
Oh.
not in my hand, it's in the
Get into herbs,
distiller.
everybody.
Basically, I like that I can connect with people in real life. Like, I hope people listen to the
Same.
podcast right now and
Oh my God,
beyond.
I
You
miss
know,
it. I don't even know how to act anymore.
right? Like, but you do still have avenues of connection, but it's just like, I think what
Totally, but
you're speaking to, which is what I
what
feel,
you're
yeah.
talking about though, like,
Just like the
so true.
person you're in line with somewhere, or like, you know,
Yeah.
whether it's a baby or a much elder person, I am linking
Just
up with
you.
them upon the world. Yeah, like, or just how anywhere. I just love how anywhere in the world you go, like when you're being
You
perceived by
go.
someone you connect to there, they really like see who you are, you know?
Absolutely.
And I
Yeah.
like it 'cause I'm not a fake bitch, and
Ah, thank
that
you.
will
Thank you for
always
being
be
real.
my superpower, you know?
One of them.
But just nicer to think about that as what you like about yourself versus like other
I love that
markers of
about you.
that.
You are super powerful.
Thank you, babe.
You are a fucking walking crystal, babe.
So nice.
Floating through space.
Yeah, I think I'm
And
getting a
everyone
nicer
sees it.
attitude towards myself in general.
Everybody sees it too, and they feel it.
I definitely have an outdated self story, which is that, like, just that I'm not, like, yeah, it's just nice to be able to feel loved and to not fight it versus qualifying it with, like, yeah, ma 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 ma. What
Wait a minute.
do you.
Did you just say outdated self story?
You know, those.
Can you please expand on that?
just like
turn.
Belief systems about who I am.
As I light this incense.
That like prevent me from more fully experiencing the beauty of what is. Like having this vibe of like, just having, let's say, like the really certain kind of intensity in my communicative relationships with parents, like the verbal style I grew up with, it has so much harshness that, like, as kind of someone who hardened and protected myself because of that, it's like I would also reenact that in my own relationships and then feel like guilt and shame around that dynamic being like not even just still part of my life, but now being the product of me, or, you know. So like that's one example where like sometimes I, you know, you're having to outgrow this like subconscious or conscious like dominant ideas about what your life is like, you know, because my life, like, as I've been realizing,
shedding constantly,
and also just naturally recognizing what's there, where like sometimes shedding your own story, you know, like I remember one time being on mushrooms with you, and I don't know if it was my birthday that time, I think it was, but like just, or it might have been a time after, we were in Joshua Tree, and I was just really, for the first time, realizing that because there was a lot of like exorbitant anger in the way that my family communicated, meaning just me, my mom and dad, you know, or like me mirroring them, of course, like that when people are angry, they say things they don't mean. So it's like even if you really trust someone, your like subconscious trust of them is being broken because they say things that are like really not aligned with the truth of what, you know, that relationship is.
Insert air horn.
Boo, boo, boo. And so then it was not until this time in Joshua Tree that I was looking around at like my friend group and really realizing that I had never fully in my body trusted any one of you as much as I actually could because of that kind of old pattern and old self story of like the people closest to you will shatter you emotionally time to time. So be on the lookout for that. I know, right? But it sounds so...
No, it's.
You know
sucks.
What it is. Yeah.
Yeah.
But the reason that it sucks is because of the immense permission that I actually had for many years before I used
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Whether it was from you, number one, for sure. I think Michelle
so
and I, from living together and also meeting each other, you know, probably 6 to 8 years after you and I met, as literal, you know, children, it was a little bit easier to begin emotionally vulnerable. You know, I could be a little more vulnerable to her because it was like new.
That. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
But yeah, it's just really nice. So that's like one of the main old stories. That's an example where like now I trust every, you know, I have a lot more trust in general, and that kind of trust in myself and others also brought in a really trusting romantic relationship. But also I have a lot more trust of even those same parents or family members because my own shift happened, or, you know.
And how about within yourself?
Yeah, well, that's where I'm still working the most, I gotta say. Like, I do trust myself a lot, and, like, especially I trust myself in certain ways that I think people would love to have more of, like, but then I also won't trust myself in some really basic ways that I would say are still, you know, that's kind of the quarantine of it all. Like, I love having to be forced to slow down because
me too.
Probably at the start of 2019, I originally got this book in January of that year to write about, like a journalism piece about, but then it ended up being really, I knew what I was doing, you know. I interviewed this guy who wrote a book about like workaholism and just like people who are addicted to being busy, and I never got into like the full 12 step of
guilty.
That world, yeah, but everyone finds ways to compulsively like work with some of this shit. So, basically I feel like the quarantine is an extension of that work that I began too, of like not getting off on productivity, not working myself to like, just not, you know, just, I worship your sense of time because it's definitely has traditionally been in much contrast to mine. And I think probably we're balancing out somewhere more like than ever, but you have a very, you believe in an abundance of time and you don't let yourself be impacted by the anxious pressure of rush that is the like baseline of this world.
Thank you for that.
It's so true, but at times it's made me like, so I'm just like enjoying. Like, only one day of this whole time did I start feeling a sense of, like, almost, like, what's the, it's, like, almost, like, your heart, not, like, your heart rate raising, but, like, there's some kind of physical manifestation of that, like,
my God, my obsessiveness. Heart has been, yeah, today my heart was crazy. Just, like, the genocide combined with. Just it brings up so much, but then also speaking to you, it's like it is a perfect timing, you know,
right? Of like just playing with the speed and pace of the foundation of your life, and also recognizing
the friendships in your life.
I love the friendship, like. It's really fun to rejoice in the sensation of long phone calls again.
As you said that, you sounded so much like 8th grade Tierney.
I'd be like, hi, Dinko. I can't even imagine. I know we would like watch shows sometimes at the same time. And like, yeah, you definitely sound exactly the same to me too. But like, it's funny to imagine what we could have been going on about.
What were we talking about?
I'm just literally wondering. Laughing for sure.
Pop culture.
Britney Spears. Oh my God. Like basically Nico and I were in class together in middle school. I also have like a little tiny picture of that's labeled Holmes Middle School pretty much in my eyesight too on this board of photos. But we were like knowing each other, but then my mom would pick me up on some days of the week and she would park in a certain spot right outside the school.
I remember.
And Nico and her developed their own little vibe because she loved his style of wearing. We had a uniform that was that we had to wear khaki, navy blue, and white. But Nico always found the, like, you know, most glamorous ways to iterate on that.
No shade, but I think I was friends with Nonner first.
No, you really were friends with my mom first because it was kind of like... We were like more like a smile across the way vibe, not like getting into each other's shit. It was
because of her that I really, we connected, I feel.
My mom, everything you like about me, I think my mom is like, so, or at least a lot of it, just because she's funny without, she's not like a jokester, but she just can really have a good time and is very committed to doing so in a really simple way.
Such a greatly humored person.
And we got kind of this gag going where, like, Nico would walk out of the school. And on the cooler days, you know, El Nino vibes, Nico would reveal and model, a la QVC model, the, like, glamorous coats.
I used to wear those parkas.
Rockaway.
Yeah, like, you know, a parka with the fur around the trim of the hood.
A pillowy fuzzy parka. Thing. Parka.
Oh, I missed that jacket. It was a Mark Echo light tan with black hardware and a light brown interior lining, and I would I would open my coat almost like, you know, people who are selling things on the street, or a flasher, probably flasher. More like a flasher,
yeah, flasher vibes,
because we've always been perverts.
Yeah.
And you would then put your head in there, like nuzzle,
like I was an your animal head living
into
in
my
your
armpit
fur.
Area. And that's
we would how present we are. This show to my mom as she sat in the car.
Uh-huh.
Oh my god. I remember this one girl we went to school with lived on the block of the school, or like right across the street. But her mom didn't let her go home from school until 1 hour after, because she didn't want anybody knowing where she lived.
No, don't bring this up.
That always was so, like,
I know
juicy to me.
About.
I know. We know so many people's names. Like, I don't know. I think we have really solid recall of everybody we ever went to school with. So,
totally.
And mostly partying with, too. Like, it's hilarious to think of all the friends that, like, we have love for, but just, like, aren't our friends like they were, but that we literally spent, like, every day with.
The gratitude list just keeps growing.
On and on. Do you want to ask one of your questions?
Yes. Barev.
Barev, inch beses.
Love him, du vonses.
Ah, love. Chikitem.
Yes, chikitem.
Du hayes?
Huh.
Inchka chica.
Hitch. Nastatsink. Ha, Nastatsink. Podcast think it's Zainagrum. Eto inchasem.
Du hai.
Inchlava. Ayo. Du kayak, che.
Yes, I am.
Apres.
Apres.
Apres. Kurojan.
Boss. Oh, if I have to think about what activities.
Can you curse on this show?
Yeah, we're allowed to curse, but we won't tell them which word was the curse.
I'm just kidding. I love when people ask that question, though.
It's so fetishy. They're like, I'm about to be really naughty right now. Shit.
Yeah. that's an amazing self-awareness.
Mm-hmm. It's just titillating us.
Yes, language.
I always
you're so good at it.
Know when you're just like an iconic friendship moment of our life is from being younger. And you in the center of, like, a variety of extreme social situations, speaking Armenian to your family on the phone in the corner. Just quickly.
I love that.
Just quickly.
Yeah, as brief as possible. Uh-huh. Like, leave me alone.
Chikitan! Chikitan!
Oh, yeah, like, daily phone calls, which, you know.
Because they would be asking.
Sound like such an asshole, right?
They'll be asking, when
getting
are
phone
you...
phone calls from loved ones checking in on you. But, yeah, it's like, when are you coming home? When are you coming home?
And you'll just be, like, in Armenian being like, I don't know. I don't know.
It's militant. And it goes back to what we're saying about the trauma. It's like...
Yeah.
When you've been through something so horrific, you hold on for dear life.
Yeah, and I think you have a healthy relationship between... not pretending to feel anything you don't, or not to pretend you're like resolving anything that you don't feel is resolved, but also having a lot of compassion.
I can't help it.
Mm-hmm.
I feel a lot.
How about, you know, a lot of people listening presumably might just know you as a very sexy person, which would be completely accurate.
What I love you guys.
You're like, you guys are the ones I'm here for.
I love you. You see me.
What do you think? You know, you mentioned earlier that you think we both were kind of like perverts from the jump, but how do you feel about sex lately? What is sex in quarantine like for you? Sexuality?
What is sex?
Tell me.
What isn't sex?
That's the real question.
I love it. It's vital. It's been hard to spend so many cuddle-free nights.
That's so real.
So hard. Oh. Like, I think that's what drives me to be such a sexy person in the world.
Uh-huh.
You know, like, I'm trying to show how much I deserve to be cuddled and cared for.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
You do.
And someday I believe that it will.
That you'll be cuddled again?
Yes.
You're a delightful person to cuddle with, and I know a lot of people oh who would God. Want you pressed up on them in bed.
Did you grow up with a lot of physical affection?
Oh, yeah. But from my mom, not from my dad.
Yeah, you do have that with her.
I mean,
like, I know you two lay in bed together and just hang out all the time.
Well, in her eyes, I probably haven't done that since 2010, but I still do for sure. Like, yeah. You know, but just because it's so like, you know, not like.
But how old were you then?
When I was little, or like, I definitely
like even when you were like. Even now, you still have that together. Like
when quarantine began, for sure, I would go into her room, which is, like, the house isn't, it's not like it's so big, but it just kind of feels like the other side of the house to me. I was definitely, especially in, like, the crazy onset of this time, I would leave bed with Brian and go lay with her and, like, watch a really comforting show at like 6 a.m., you know, just because I was grateful to be able to have that cuddly, cozy experience. But
oh my God, there's nothing like it.
Yeah, I'm grateful. We super petted, you know, I was a super petted princess in many ways too, which I think
kitty.
Yeah, very kitty, very scratch my arm, and I would poof the bottom of my mom's hair all the time. But it's just funny because not until my parents got a dog and, like, I got into their dog did I ever hug or touch my dad. It's so random. Like, I just don't think I had that much, like, that stable trust for him.
What?
It was explain like somehow
that relation there.
Like somehow the our dog heart
brought.
It was like it formed a relationship triangle, which, you know, all screenwriters will say all relationships are triangle.
Triangular?
I mean, only if they're like in a classical writing class, but like
it blows my mind.
It's because you see more about one dynamic by like framing it.
Well, you know,
against that other dynamics.
Triangles are the strongest shape.
Trilogy, baby. I believe it. I love him. And yeah. I love Order of the Phoenix. Harry Potter is a triangle too. But basically,
so, yeah, go ahead.
The dog opened up my heart and separately his heart. And our relationship to the dog modeled our ability to have this cozy, youth-like, pure kindness and warmth that we really hadn't shown. You know, I'd received a lot of love from my dad all throughout my life, but it would just come with a dynamic. It would also have another dynamic that was very, very aggressive between the two of us and very, like, diminutive of me to him because of a lot of judgment. And so anyway, also his own hangups, his own traumas and experiences as a kid, he's just not like my mom. He's not like that warm, touchy. I feel like my mom hugs and kisses and tells some of my cousins I love you that like their parents don't even do that to them, you know? So so I'm addicted to the generosity of my mom's touch, but yeah, the dog. I think it's cute that the dog's like sweetness made us sweet enough. It's not like we're like cuddling or, you know, we don't hug every time we see each other, but like it's available to us now, which I think is nice because life is short. Yeah,
it was. That's beautiful, Tierney. So that's beautiful. That's why I love
my dog.
It makes so much sense because your dog, Gretchen. Is so like influenced by the two of you specifically.
It's true.
And your mom has like a separate relationship with her.
Mm-hmm. And I'm an only child, so I don't have that other type of triangle to form with parents. You know what I mean? Like it's just me and them. So it's just funny to see what comes forth with this.
When I look at Gretchen, I see the sweetness of you.
Aww. I'll be like, are you my grandmother? because she gives me such a regal.
She is.
She gives me a really regal femininity and love. Well,
yeah.
But what's funny, too, is I never had a dog our whole friendship. You know, I was into, I loved the narratives of many of your different dogs, but like, I just was kind of a, I was scared and I played it off as like a cunty diva, like, ugh, dirty. it's so unpopular to admit that you didn't give a shit about animals.
People are disgusting with their animals, okay?
That's true.
Some of you are borderline fucking them and it creeps me out. I don't want to see that shit. Stop sticking their tongues in your mouth. That's just... Okay.
Oh, it's so real.
But there is, obviously, they're like loving creatures and they're nothing but loving and they are our ancestors embodied, you know, re-embodied or whatever, reincarnated.
And also just to give love to something feels good. Like, I see why people are motivated to like, you know.
Period.
Invest
to give love feels good.
To give love feels good.
Give it freely. Give it
pleasure
endlessly. Let your cup run over, please.
You are so fucking stingy into my life because, like, I feel abundance thinking you've been on that tip and, like, you
thank you.
Like,
yeah, that's what I was saying at the beginning of our conversation. Like, I was built for this.
To make yourself feel good on your own terms.
To survive no matter what. And to thrive and flourish.
You're doing it, babe.
And to help others do that and more.
What are you turning to when you want to have like some masturbatory experience? Is it really your own mind lately?
Oh, yes.
Is it
We were talking about sex, weren't we?
It's because we derailed back into some sort of family meditation because because you're asking about like
pleasure
dynamics. I think you were probably saying you wanted more, saying more without cuddling. Saying you wanted more cuddling then and now.
My question to you was,
were you cuddled?
Yeah, I didn't receive much affection, physical affection.
Totally.
And I still don't receive as much as I want.
It's funny, too, how I think there will be different experiences or assumptions about how much is enough. Like, I think, like, I'm just imagining someone listening and, you know, let's say one of our amazing friends who I hope to tune into this and get to feel a sense of, like, socializing and communion with us. But, like... what do I want to say? Just that I know that they might assume like, oh, well, you're always like beloved and hugged and out and, getting some touch, but it's like, who is
No.
anyone to say
You'd never
what
know.
constitutes what someone needs or wants? And like, why do we assume that there's some sort of limit? And like, we're just all so used to assuming that
Yeah.
don't enjoy too much of anything because then there won't be
Don't
enough, and
assume.
that's not real.
I don't assume.
It makes an ass of you and me.
Exactly. So, yeah, everybody's going through it.
Just tell me how you're coming.
How I'm coming different these days. Well, I want to give a shout out to Reginald,
Yes. Hi, Reggie.
my lover. We've been having a
Cybering?
no, but I have been doing that too
I just wanted to
with
say
other people.
cybering.
Cyber. I loved, yeah, I love that term coming back. Yeah,
Cybering.
cyber sex. It's really a good word. Yeah, my partner and I, we've had a couple meetups. Magical sexual healing moments for me in my life. I don't know how much they would want me to share about it.
Yeah, that's real. Don't violate
But you,
anyone's.
going back to your question about my masturbation practice, listeners, what is your masturbation practice? Tell us in the comments below.
And tell us if you've ever, not just any run-of-the-mill circle jerk, but if you've had an intentional masturbatory experience with friends, kind of like a sex
See,
magic
yeah.
mood.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Nice.
We need to normalize love and intimacy. But
What do
yeah,
you, I mean, you've been
I've been
taking some really
masturbating so
erotic
much.
photos.
Yes. I've been just feeling myself like, using the power of the sun within me. I've been like when the yesterday or the day before. It was the day before. Time is flux. I went to the beach and I went for a long walk down the shore, in the wet sand, the part where the water just barely comes up and it's like flat and you can see the water seeping into the sand. Yeah, I like to walk along that part because it's like you're walking on memory foam, but it's sand and salt water, and it's so nice. And I was walking down in Malibu, which I think, according to the law, the beaches are closed right now.
Yeah.
But I took the risk. I broke in.
Safely. You were safe.
I'm always safe.
I'm just protecting you from listeners with
No, thank
questions.
you. Thank you. I mean, if you have a problem with it,
Get off my page
come
and
find me.
suck my dick.
Yeah, come find me. I will fuck you up. I don't give a fuck.
yeah, go fuck yourself if you're policing everybody. Well, I went to the beach this week too, but I didn't get out of the car and I didn't touch like that really nice part of the sand you were describing so detailed. And at the same time, it was just feeling really nice to see the ocean.
Yeah, absolutely.
The wildflowers are going just so pretty.
Yeah, I want to say that too. I want to speak to accessibility. If you are able and you have access to do anything, do it.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of experiences that like people take for granted.
Do whatever you can. If you have access to anything, utilize it and share your resources.
Yeah. Show up for it. I mean, yeah, new experiences make for new stories and new characters and new opportunities to laugh and see nature. And I mean, I definitely think like I just like we're lucky to have been able to travel
so lucky
together multiple times. Although I will
so
say,
blessed.
I'm pretty sure this still the only times I've been in Europe have been with you with that disc stuff. So that's funny. I feel like that
first
sounds
of all,
like really quaint.
Europe is disgusting.
Okay, good.
Pure evil.
Okay, thank
fuck
you for
Europe.
Making me feel better.
Fuck you. Fuck all of you, motherfuckers. That being said, I really have a great time.
You're like, hey, you guys still have fun.
When you and I were invited there, that was nice. I love traveling with you so much. Even
ditto.
When we go for a walk to the park to hang out on the swings. Just, like, do it, you know? Enjoy what you have.
I was much more of a nervous Nelly growing up than you. And, like, when you wanted to joyride, like, your mom's car to Del Taco, for example, like, those kind of vibes, I'll be like, oof, like, I really don't know about that. But then I ultimately had the experiences and
well, thank you for jumping in the car with me with a big-ass smile on.
Exactly. Like, I always, like, I've totally gotten off on the way you've allowed me to, like, push. Not allowed. You've just encouraged the pushing of certain boundaries that I intuitively push as well. And so together, we've really
exactly.
created a formidable...
We're like, very much in alignment there.
Harmonious hijinks.
Yeah. So, back to my walk down the beach.
Tell me, yeah.
Such a beautiful day. Warm. The waves were calm. The water was brisk, refreshing. I'm walking down the beach and I'm passing by these like mega $1 million mansions right on the shore, who are, you know, so conveniently designed to exclude the public from utilizing these beautiful beaches. And as I passed this one particularly large mansion, I found this like entire stone area, like these giant boulders on the beach that had caves in them and like little passageways. And I found myself, when I go out into nature, I always notice like environments that look like fairies lived there. You know, like little nests or...
Totally.
Just these serene images that you grow up seeing in like books and movies and stuff of like fairy tale corners, you know? It's crazy how they are so just, they're right there. Like, they're all around us. And I found this one little fairy nest under a tree, again, and I leaned against a rock. And the sun was coming through the leaves. It was so beautiful. Like, I had been in the sun for a while. So I was feeling a little hot and energized, I guess. And then I laid under the shade of this tree and I masturbated there. I just started touching myself. And I had some coconut oil that I used. Mm-hmm. I use coconut oil for everything. Mm-hmm. And I rubbed one out right there in that little fairy house. It was amazing. And I could feel the presence of, like, the people in their homes around.
Oof, I love that.
And it just kept me going forward. Mm-hmm. I was like, no, you are going to get this nut in this beautiful
and
setting.
And you're going to get it quick, you know? You're going to get it, or at the divine timing, like, uh-huh, the timing that will protect you from the gaze of these people, totally, but, like, eroticize you with the thought
you
of the
gonna
potential.
You are going to rub it out. Yeah.
Oh, I love it. Thank you for sharing that.
That's just one of my many quarantine
comes
self-loving nutting moments. Another thing I really recommend is, if you have access to wherever you live, if you have access to a rooftop, mm-hmm, like, even if it's just literally climbing on top of something, if you can, just go up there, because you can find, like, the open sky and the nature around you, and, like, the treetops and the surrounding horizon. I feel, mm-hmm, like, you know, removing yourself from the floor and going up on the roof, mm-hmm, it reminds you of your gravity.
We're soaring. Do you know High School Musical? Did you watch?
I haven't seen it.
Okay, well, I think we have to wrap up soon, so I just want to, like, inspire a game show manic pace. Any last questions? I can throw out some last minute questions I'm thinking of for you too.
Mm-hmm. Go for it.
Okay. What's the most enjoyable television program you've watched in the last month?
I haven't enjoyed any of them. I'm sick of the TV. I don't want to look at it.
You've reached your maximum.
Yeah, like, I'm watching things and it doesn't even feel like I'm watching anything afterwards, you know?
Like, it's mindless. Like,
believe me, like, I put the TV on, I go to all the apps that you so graciously share your passwords with me. And I look for things to watch, and I have zero interest in any of it. Like,
I think it's just about the tempo and pace of the world right now. It's like,
totally,
it's just, you don't want to, it's not a delight. It's not as delightful if it's, well, I mean, if, yeah, when it's, like, not
escape. If it's the only thing to do, right?
Yeah, of course. I don't think it's anything. It's not even probably about the shows as much of just, like, the agitation with the state of the world.
Absolutely. But, and that's why, like, I've been going on the roof and just trying to focus my eyes on the fluffiness of the clouds. Mm-hmm. And give my being that experience, you know, that I that I would only do when I was a kid and that I haven't done for so long because I have been so flooded with media and other shit.
No, like bioregionalism and like more awareness of where you actually live is so positive for this moment.
We grew up here our whole lives, right? Mm-hmm. I feel like I know so little about this place.
Of course, but that's what makes you a true expert is because you realize how vast it is and how much you still don't know.
Thank you.
I just, like, even my neighborhood. Mm-hmm. Okay, you know how I discovered that one cactus garden literally a 1 minute walk from my house only a few months ago?
Yeah, it's so beautiful.
Next thing you know, just the blocks beyond that, just a certain direction, whereas I typically would only walk kind of the other ways. It's just crazy how close to me there's so many beautiful trees and like gardens, and I'm like, wow, we live in a much nicer neighborhood than I knew. And I actually saw a lot of Armenian flags over on Glad Hill Street, where I was like, I had no idea. It's just been really fun to like appreciate,
to just, you know, connect with the nature around us, right?
Yeah, and also the effort and intention other people have in maintaining. Also, just talking about the bio of, like, literally the valley, not LA at large.
And it's so, it's not easy because I'm addicted to technologies and being online and, you know, obsessively checking my phone.
I'm definitely online. You're really good at it. But yeah.
You're so disciplined with like setting aside time to do things.
I think it's because I'm pretentious. Like, I don't like the idea that like I sit on something that everyone else is sitting on and just like wishing they were doing something else. Or like, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, I like to get quick glimpses of entertainment and then like put it away for a while and then indulge again, but I just don't feel comfortable with it being like in the backseat of my everyday life experience, especially in a vulnerable time like right now. Like, I think the first or second week of quarantine, I didn't have Instagram the whole time because it was just like I could just not take it in. I just don't have the constitution for it that I once did, but I do have the constitution for a lot of like programming. But I think I also am super digesting like story structure all the time and just like, well, it's definitely just like passion and fun, but I somehow feel like always enriched by most of what I choose to watch. But also like reading, like in terms of just physical space, like holding a book and reading it. I've definitely always been into reading, but like, not in a way like when I was little, just like talking on the phone, like not like let me read for 2 hours at once in the middle of the day, you know? Mm-hmm. So that's been really a good way for me not to pick up my phone too.
I love that for you. You're so intentional. It's inspiring.
Mwah. Okay. I'm supposed to ask you like, what? Oh, I wanted to tell you the show that people should watch over quarantine, whether they've seen it before or not, is The Assassination of Gianni Versace, in which Nico makes an appearance as an Italian, sorry, let me qualify further, as a Versace designer living and working in Italy.
Mm-hmm. Yes, please go watch it and leave it on repeat so I can collect my residual income.
And like, when it came out, did you rush to look at it? Like, did you,
Oh, yeah. Don't you remember
we had
a viewing party, and it didn't end up even being my episode that night, which was so funny. Like, we literally gathered our friends.
That's so sitcom. And made Italian food. Dinner. Yeah.
Yeah, and then we were waiting for my appearance on this show, and it happened to be another episode. But Yeah, it was that was a dream come true, absolutely.
What did you like most about the experience?
I loved everything about it. I loved being employed.
That's what, yeah, like I just feel like it's so funny, like even though we experience different things creatively and professionally, like true essential dreams and talents for acting give us the most funny life because acting is just such a hilarious
It's,
pursuit to make a living out of.
oh my God, it's the best. I have so much fun.
I feel like you have a really healthy relationship to auditioning that a lot of people don't have. Basically, that just means that you like it, because most people will tell you that's their least favorite thing.
I have learned to love and appreciate it, yeah.
After the Versace casting, were you like, I got that?
I felt good, and it was so quick that I didn't think very much about it, 'cause I had to get back to work. Like, I left a job that I was doing that day to go and
An acting job?
audition. No, just another it was a
Styling?
wardrobe, yeah,
Yeah.
styling, assisting for some magazine cover shoot, with, yeah, it was some job, you know, I need to work. But it's
Just
not, I'm not
whatever
like trying
job.
to be, I'm not trying to be a wardrobe stylist, but I'm very lucky
No, we're
that I
trying
had
to be
the
actors.
opportunity to do that, to generate
Yeah.
something for me. And I feel like that had a lot to do with it. It was like, even if I'm not getting my act, even if I'm not booking the role, just going out for it and staying busy in other areas of my life, I feel like contributes to the overall success.
Right.
And that's, yeah, that's why I love auditioning, because it just, it's teaching you. It's very, it can be very grounding. It forces you to come and be in the space that you are,
I think if,
and then transcend it.
yeah, totally. Like it's an extremely creative and present. It's like what goes on in a casting room is so slight and yet so powerful because everything is so standard, very dismal or kind of nice, like clinical, office environment with people with busy schedules, seeing a huge, herd of folks, and it's just so not the coddled experience that a lot of people think about actors having on set, where everything is very oriented towards like
No.
their enjoyment of it.
Yeah.
It's very like, can you come in and just like transport yourself without costuming, without set, without, all the other pieces.
Right, in this like random empty room with strangers in there who are just there to examine you and judge you
Yeah. And then
based on things out of your control.
totally. And then like so it's funny, like actors access, like the ways in which like aspiring actors or just working actors get jobs is by like submitting a lot of the time through these very unglamorous, antiquated portals where like acting gigs are posted. And every time that I'm like
They're so
smoking a joint
confusing.
and going through those, yeah, it's just like so funny to me. And I have been noticing that's a good time to be on Actors Access because, like, I mean, that's kind of a joke. Like, I don't know if it really is, but there's a lot of postings for work in the summer that they're like, well, I might as well look for people now. So you never know. But then it's like, it's just funny too, what can feel like such a big deal, like going out for a show you really like, even if you don't book that job, it's like, it still gives me like such a thrill to be working with that material or something. But
exactly.
Then also,
I mean,
tell me,
you can have the same feeling that you would if you booked it.
Totally. Because it already, you know, half the mm-hmm. battle's won. It's like, you're in the mm-hmm. room. They're going to, yeah. You know, it's just so funny because I think your experience of it is a little different because of like, well, no, I mean, we've both experienced a lot of like the flexibility that one can have, like doing a bunch of different things to make a living and like an artistic practice out of, but like also,
mm-hmm.
I don't know, like just in some of the jobs I've had, it's just like people think it's very easy. People love making fun of actors. Like to want to be an actor is like, you're supposed to be, if you're
it's
a certain
mockery.
Yeah, like you're a fucking joke, but it's just like, that's how you know you really have to listen to yourself and like.
But how dare you? Like, what if you actually love doing that?
We love doing
it. And it brings you so much joy. Who cares?
It definitely is. Who cares? I just want to say it out loud to enable more people who want to be actors mm-hmm. to
please.
Be actors. Like
everyone,
it doesn't
listen,
mean
I
you
know
don't have
you
to...
all have a lot of free time right now.
Yeah.
So if you do have free time, I encourage you to dream.
Mm-hmm.
And wish.
Wish. Dream.
And then create.
Create. Well, I also recommend to read No Acting, Please, and Irreverent Acting by Eric Morris. I can't wait for more auditions, you know, when the world is healthy again. I can't say anything great's coming through yet. But also just reading acting language descriptions for jobs, it'll be so funny because it'll be like, skinny blonde Russian types, you know, mm-hmm. like the way people it's like very
it's
unregulated or moderated, so
limited. It's
yeah.
so limited. The stories that get picked up and get backed are always so the same shit over and over again.
Well, I'm excited to keep dreaming big with you, to resume some parts of our life together mm-hmm. when this is all over, and to create new ways of being
yes.
too. And I definitely appreciate the sound of your voice and just like the texture and love that having space with you feels like.
Same. So much.
Our show is wrapping up, Nico. This is your first appearance, but I'm sure there'll be plenty more to come.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you.
I love your podcast.
Thank you.
I love your creativity.
Thank you. Love
yours.
And
I have one final question for you.
Please.
How would you make an old person feel young again?
Getting them off, baby.
Oh, yes.
Ugh, I wish I had a new old person in front of me to tease and please.
That's
like,
great advice.
I mean, like, I definitely have been enjoying the erotic over the quarantine experience.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been enjoying some of the like casualness with which you can explore it while being in like confined space a lot together. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, like, it's been a lot of years now since I've healed a repressed older person through my sexuality, and at least directly. And it's definitely a really effective use of my time and energy when the situation is right. I know you're just wanting me to come and diddle your aunt, so
Somebody, please.
Thanks for sharing such an important day to you and your family with me and enlightening our listeners. If you have any questions for Nico, please feel free to write Nico or myself, and you can follow Nico at Nico the Icon with K's, N-I-K-O-I-K-O-N. Check out, there's so much of Nico's archival photography on the internet.
Just come and talk to us.
Yeah, talk to us, please, especially if you listen. This was a pretty intimate episode, so let us know that you tuned in, and more to come soon. We love you. We love Margot Padilla, who's recording with us right now. Say hi, Margot.
The greatest.
Hey, what up?
Margot also makes, Margot produces the music that you're going to hear in this episode and many of the others on Tyranny Talks. So check out Margot's band, Dis Fantasy. We didn't talk about partying at all. That can be a whole another bonus episode. Yeah. We can have a tell-all.
No, we didn't even scratch the surface, babe.
There's more where that came from. We all need to go. We love you. And until next time. Mwah. Mwah.
Another question I got from my devout Instagram following is, what has been your most valuable priority during this time? That's a really great, vast feeling there. I have been prioritizing self-love and the effects of that.
Very good.
Just taking really good care of myself so that I can take really good care of all my loved ones.
Beautiful.
Karen asks,
Karen, we love you.
We love you, baby.
So much.
Mother of the river and the moon wants to know, why are you guys so beautiful?
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Tyranny Talks. I'm Tierney Finster, and I'm sending you nothing but love from Los Angeles. Follow me on Instagram and Twitter at TStar7, and please subscribe to the podcast if you haven't already. Our show music is Let Me Love You by Dis Fantasy, featuring Margot Padilla and Brittany Love. Today's show was recorded and edited by Margot Padilla and hosted and produced by me. Until next time, XOXO, Tyranny.